I'm Emily, and I'm about to have dinner in Old Town, and you're listening to Outside the Loop, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thank you very much, Emily. Welcome to Outside the Loop. Yes, this is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. It is fantastic to be here with you today for show number 996. And what we do here on the program is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. Bob Ferguson is our engineer on duty today in the WGN radio studio. So hello to Fergie. And it's, again, great to be here. And hey, look, I know I'm a broken record, but I gotta hammer this home. I hope you know by now that 1 week from today at Fitzgerald's Nightclub in Berwyn, the historic Fitzgerald's, we are taping the 1000th episode of Outside the Loop. So you can be there. It's a free event. You just have to RSVP. So, you know, we know who's coming and how many people we should plan for. And the good folks at Fitzgerald's will take care of us all. So you could just go to FitzgeraldsNightclub.com. FitzgeraldsNightclub.com. And you can reserve your spot or spots because, hey, bring some friends, bring some family. There's a full bar. There's barbecue that they serve there. Fitzgerald's located at 6615 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. The show is at 3 o'clock, so we will be taping and, of course, eventually playing back that show here on the radio and on the podcast. So scream loud because, hey, you can be on the show. We've got a lot of guests, and we're looking forward to that. You could just go to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com for the full lineup, WGNRadio.com. It's going to be great, so we'd love to see you there at Fitzgerald's 1 week from today, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for the 1000th episode taping of Outside the Loop. Rock and roll. We've got a great show for you today. We've got the secret history of Chicago music, speaking of rock and roll, although we're not quite talking about rock and roll with this one, but it's a pretty cool one, so stick around for that. Also, a very cool charity helping us out during the holiday season. And do you like King Crimson? There's a very cool tribute band that's all about King Crimson. We find out more about that. It's crazy to think about, but the holidays are soon approaching. And wow, I'll tell you, it is also a time to reflect on what we have and to express thanks for those people and things in our lives that are important. Not everyone in Chicago is fortunate enough to have fresh food and a place to live. However, I think we are fortunate to live in an area where people are looking to help one another out. Chef Aura Thompson is the owner of Urban Excellence Enterprises, LLC. They are collaborating with some folks to put together this initiative called Home for the Holidays, where we can all pitch and help out folks here in Chicagoland. Aura Thompson is here with us on Outside the Loop. Aura, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So you are doing a lot of, I think, great work. It's work that's really important. And I think, like I said, it's around this time when maybe, even though there's a lot going on, we take a step back and just kind of give thanks for what we have and take a look around and kind of reflect a little bit. So we'll get into all that. But what you do with Urban Excellence Enterprises, you're the owner of this LLC. Tell us about what you do here.
So with Urban Excellence Enterprise, I basically look to give back and collaborate in many ways. It's a organization that we host events. So we host events that can always benefit someone else. So it's a space for everybody to shine, all the entrepreneurs and in different areas to shine and get light shed on their businesses. So all the events are centered around that and or giving back. So like the Home for the Holidays initiative is about giving back, and we just like to do things that give back in all forms and facets.
Yeah, it's really, you know, you think about just trying to give back to your community, like you were saying, And it's you just kind of taking the time to say, you know what? Okay, let's hold up here. Let's take a look around. Let's see who else is doing really great work. And let's kind of bring them together. And if it's trying to get food or money, that's kind of where you're living with this.
Yeah, exactly. Because when we come together, we can, you know, cover that much more ground. We can reach more people when we do things together. And I feel like that's missing a lot in our communities. Outside of our communities, it's very divided, you know, and it's really time we, you know, start just coming back together as a people and helping each other out in more significant ways.
Especially now, you know?
Absolutely. We are living in some crazy times.
Yes, we are.
Unfreaking believable.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I think, you know, things like what you're doing, it's really great because it is this reminder that, boy, you know, underneath it all, we're all the same. We have the same desires and needs and and wants. And, you know, your background, I think, doing this is really wonderful. But you are also a chef. You like to cook. So tell us about this.
I do. So that's a lot of what the initiatives that I do are centered around. So Home for the Holidays, my thought process with that is like, you know, people want to eat good. Everybody wants to eat good, you know?
Sure.
And people that are less fortunate or unhoused, they don't necessarily have the luxury of enjoying delicious food. You know, people do donate all the time. But sometimes it's, you know, just, you know, somebody's leftovers. And not to say that people can't cook, but I want them to have something that's hearty, that's home. Like it makes them, it reminds them of home for the holidays. And so that's what the whole initiative is, just giving them that feel of, you know, having the love around them. So,
which is so important, you know, and I think it's just like, you think about the holidays and going home and having a place to call home and family and the food. So with Home for the Holidays here, this initiative, I know that you've been partnering up with some folks, but tell us exactly how this works and how people are going to be impacted and how we can get involved.
Awesome. So this year was my first year actually collaborating with two larger organizations. So we just had our first segment, so-called, of Home for the Holidays this past weekend, where we partnered with Ignite. They are a homeless prevention center for the youth in the city of Chicago. And they're actually celebrating their 50th year. And so what we did is I gathered a couple of my chef friends from another event I hosted earlier this year. And we all just kind of came together and cook the food for this event. And it was inclusive to the surrounding community, the people that have gone through the program. And then on November 27th, actually on Thanksgiving Day, it will be the second half of it, where I'm collaborating with a place called Rock of Our Salvation. And so they're looking to feed about 200 people in the Austin community, giving them care packages. And then we'll also have people that will be going out into the city to serve those that can't make it inside.
Wow. And you are getting in there and you're cooking too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I'm putting this together, so I definitely have to contribute to it.
I think that's great. You're using that chef background, you know?
Yes, for sure.
So, okay, we can also help out here, get involved. And I know that it's around this time, like we were talking about, where people are saying, hey, you know, can you help us out? But look, that's kind of what we're about here. And that's the culture. That's the tradition. And yeah, it is a good time. I think if you can, right, do whatever you can. But tell tell us what you're looking for here when it comes to Home for the Holidays.
So now at this point, I'm still collecting donations that are going to go towards the care package that we will be giving out to the families, and also those that will be serviced out in the streets. So there will be two separate care packages. It's also going to go towards making sure we have all of the food that we need, the supplies we need to be able to make this event as successful as possible.
And if we want to get involved here, I know we can check out you on social media, and this is across all platforms here. So it's at Cafe 322 Urban Bistro, at Cafe 322 Urban Bistro. And so that's what, Instagram, Facebook, everything. We can go there and get more information and ways to help out.
Correct. Yes. So I have a GoFundMe set up, which you'll see on the site, on the platforms, and that'll take you to the GoFundMe. That'll show you everything that we're doing, and you can do the Amazon wish list from there or a monetary donation. We are appreciative of every single thing that we get.
It's at Cafe 322 Urban Bistro. So we could check that out, and we can find out ways to, that we can get involved and donate. And, you know, what a great, I just think a great community that we have here in Chicago and Chicagoland. It's a big place, yeah. But I think, you know, around the holidays, it becomes maybe a little bit smaller, and you get people that come together and they kind of collaborate and they come together to help others. And, you know, I think that's in all these crazy times, like we were talking about, let's maybe put that up front and, you know, kind of remember that.
Absolutely. It's very important. It's very important for us to come together and make bigger things happen. We, like I say, we could do so much more when we come together. And that's what it's all about.
That's right. So we could check out on all the social media platforms at Cafe 322 Urban Bistro. And we can get involved with this Home for the Holidays initiative. Aura Thompson is the chef who put this all together. She's the owner of Urban Excellence Enterprises, LLC, really doing some wonderful work throughout the city of Chicago. Aura, thank you so much for talking to us today. Happy holidays. Can't believe we're saying that, but here we are.
I know. Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing.
And happy holidays to you, too. Thanks so much.
Remember the band King Crimson? Yeah, they formed in the late 1960s out of Britain, and they were always pushing musical boundaries. If you dig progressive rock, rock and roll, jazz, experimental music, the list goes on because they've done so much, then you should check out a group called Indiscipline, a tribute to the band King Crimson. They're playing a show on Saturday, December 6th at Reggie's Rock Club in Chicago. That's at 2105 South State Street. Eric Butler is the band leader. He is also a guitarist and a vocalist, and he is here with us today on Outside the Loop. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So King Crimson, let me start there. I mean, you know, I dig the sound, especially early King Crimson, but why would you want to put together a band? Not that it's a bad thing, but why do you want to put together a band, and why have you done so around the music of King Crimson?
Well, I guess I like to torture myself.
It's not
easy. I've been asking that. No, it's definitely not easy. It's extremely challenging music. I got this idea about a year ago, I would say, and a friend of mine that was actually owns Montrose Saloon and puts on a lot of these tribute nights and showcases, you know, Elvis Costello and a number of bands like that. And I was just happened to be talking to him one night, and I said, hey, why don't you put together a band and feature some King Crimson music? I mean, nobody ever seems to do that. So he looked at me and he goes, yeah, you know what? I think you should do that. And I was like, not me, find somebody else who can do it. And so basically it was a challenge. And I talked to a few of my friends that are musicians, and we thought about it. And we went, you know, nobody really does feature that band. And they're extremely influential. They've influenced so many artists and bands over the last 40, 50 plus years. So we just said, well, let's see if we could pull it off. And we've been working woodshedding ever since. So yeah, it is a challenge to play this music for sure.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, there's the musical aspect of it, the complicated sounds, because it's not always as straightforward as guitar, bass, drums, vocals. I mean, there's all kinds of sounds. It's sometimes it's a trippy experience, which I think is kind of cool. but also the fact that they've spanned all these decades now, and there has been kind of an evolution when we think of the band King Crimson. They started out really in that prog rock kind of era and sound. You think about bands like the Moody Blues and King Crimson kind of in there, and then they've, I don't know if evolved is the right word, but, you know, the sound has changed a little bit to kind of keep up with the times while still trying to preserve King Crimson. So how do you go about that? Are you sort of going through the entire spectrum of the band, or do you focus on one era?
We do. We're starting basically from album one, and we're going to obviously cover a lot of ground. But we're kind of looking at doing the spanning sort of from the 60s, 70s, 80s up through the 90s. Now, they have done some more current material. And to be honest with you, we did start working on some of that stuff, but it's so difficult. We had to shelve for this show. We were just like, we need more time to put that together. But yeah, so basically the three main eras, I would say, of the band are: Greg Lake was the first singer and was on the first couple albums. And then you have John Wetton, and John Wetton was with them up through 74. And then they took a break. And in the 80s, Adrian Belew, which maybe some people know from Talking Heads, and David Bowie. And he's also had a very successful solo project as well, our solo career as well. So those are pretty much the three main quote-unquote eras that we're focusing on for the show, which seems to be probably the most popular of the King Crimson catalog.
And I know that you have performed out before doing this Indiscipline, a tribute to the band King Crimson. And I think you did play Montrose Saloon at one point. And you're bringing a lot of people. I mean, you got to have horns, you got to have guitars, you got to have synth, you got to have just all kinds of, you know, instruments in the mix. So this is what's coming up here on December 6th. This is kind of like a party on stage almost.
Lately, I'm getting very excited. And what we're doing now, right now, currently the band's 11 members.
Wow.
So, yeah. And, you know, we have multiple drummers, we have multiple guitarists, multiple vocalists, multiple bass players. And we also have, which is really kind of groundbreaking in King Crimson, is they brought in something called touch instruments or touch guitars. So some people might be familiar with the Chapman stick. So we have several people in the band that play these types of instruments, and they're really unique sounding and very unique sounding to especially the 80s and 90s versions of King Crimson. So we're playing the songs as close to how they were conceived and they were recorded as you possibly can. But everyone that's been involved in this project is just extremely talented. And I'm very humbled to work with such brilliant, talented musicians. It really is. It's really something to see, for sure.
I am a big fan of a really good tribute band. You know, I think that sometimes people might say, oh, well, you know, it's not the real thing. And obviously it's, you know, it's different people, so it can't be the original band, but this music is so great, and to work hard at it and to interpret that and put it out there, I think is really wonderful. And I think you raise something that's I think a lot of people are thinking about when they go see a tribute band. Are you going to play it straight? And I know you said you're going to try to be as faithful to the original material as possible, but sometimes there is a little human interpretation there. Sometimes you can't help it because that's how this stuff is structured. Are you really trying to limit that? Are you really just 100% trying to go as close as possible as the original stuff? Or can you say, oh, well, in this solo, maybe I'll play these notes here, and maybe it'll sound a little bit more like myself?
Yeah, there's definitely room for improvisation. There's definitely room for interpretation, for sure. As far as the bones of the songs and the structure of the songs, we're not going to deviate from that, but within sort of the improvisation sections of certain pieces, that's open to interpretation. So we definitely have some room to play with, but for the most part, if you're very familiar with these songs, we're going to be extremely faithful to how they sound.
All right. Well, the show is coming up on Saturday, December 6th at Reggie's Rock Club in Chicago. That's at 2105 South State Street. It's a very cool room. And this band sounds very cool. The band is called Indiscipline, a tribute to the band King Crimson. Again, Saturday, December 6th at Reggie's in Chicago. You can go see this band. So get on out to Reggie's then. Eric Butler is the band leader for Indiscipline, a tribute to the band King Crimson, and he's a guitarist and vocalist. Hey, Eric, thanks for talking to us today. This sounds like a great show. We should all check it out.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Occasionally in the Chicago Reader, you will see the column, The Secret History of Chicago Music. It is hand-drawn by local musician, music historian, and artist Plastic Crime Wave. He's also known as Steve Krakow. This strip profiles a local musician or a band who never quite made it to the big time. So right now, let's dim those lights. Let's fire up the old hi-fi as we travel to Chicago's Ukrainian Village neighborhood and enter
The Secret History of Chicago Music.
Just imagine what would happen if we all had lost our voice, and when we tried to speak, nothing would sound. I hardly think that such a thing would be constant.
Oh yeah, once again, connecting across town to the lair of an apartment of Steve Krakow, who is the author of The Secret History of Chicago Music Strip in the Chicago Reader and online at chicagoreader.com. It's a wonderful column, and Steve is also a local musician. He's a music historian, and he's a good dude, and he brings us the story. This is a real interesting one of someone I think he's kind of well known. We'll find out here. Charles E. Gerber. Steve, Charles E. Gerber, this was a special one for you, wasn't it?
It was, because for a number of reasons, personally, sort of getting the story for maybe kind of like the first time, which I love, and then also like, I didn't really know who I was searching for at the beginning of this story. You know, it was sort of a mystery I unraveled in my, you know, brain going back to childhood about who this sort of elfin troubadour I saw on TV when I was about 4 years old was.
Yeah. So Charles E. Gerber, he's an actor. I mean, he's a performer. He kind of does it all. But he was on TV. Now, this was back, we go back to 1977. Charles Gerber was born way before that. But when little Stevie Krakow was 4 years old and was watching TV, tell us about this TV show that is eventually connected to Charles E. Gerber.
Well, I had these dim memories. I remember sort of waking up, you know, before even cartoons were on. So we're talking like 5-ish, 6 in the morning, you know, when you're a hyper kid and, you know, and sort of flipping. And I remember seeing this kind of elfy guy coming out of an acorn and he's singing songs and there were puppets. And, you know, it was a very foggy memory. And then, you know, sort of fast forward years later, I find this record that it's got a very sort of handmade cover, almost looks like a woodcut, like printing sort of on it. And it's like Songs from the Magic Door. And I'm like, whoa, what's this? Oh, it's from Chicago. Oh, wait, it's from a TV show. Oh, wait a minute. And then the record said Charles E. Gerber singing, wrote the songs, and I had to find them. But then, you know, looking around online, you mostly get his acting credits, which, you know, and theater credits, which are very impressive. And He's just a sort of all around. The best analogy I could put it is like, what if you only knew Morgan Freeman from the Electric Company? You know, and then
yeah.
and then you suddenly realize one day, like, whoa, he's done all this other, like, way beyond that kind of stuff, and is dizzying. So I got in touch with him, and his memory is incredible. He's in his 70s now, but he's just done everything, been there, and just all these different worlds of like theater and music and film. And he's just been on every teaching, all of the aforementioned things. So it's like he's been on all sort of sides of this thing, and he's been doing it for so long, and he's still kicking butt at it. So it's like, where do you begin? It was like, man, remember that guy, Byron Gregory, I covered a little while back? Yeah. His CV was just so intense that, like, this one just took years. So not only did it take years for me to find the record, it then took me years to sort of wrap this up because then we had an interview, and that was about 2 hours of chatting. And you know, we both like the Marx Brothers. Great. You know, so, like, things like that are coming up as I'm getting this, you know, information. So, like, this one was a tricky one to rein in, but I really wanted to tell this story to once again make a long story shorter.
There we go. So Charles E. Gerber, he's born in April of 1949, raised in West Rogers Park, and eventually, so the TV show that you mentioned, The Magic Door, it aired Sunday mornings from 1962 until 1982 on Channel 2, WBBM. And so that's the TV show that you were talking about as a kid, kind of dimly remembering. But Charles E. Gerber, he grows up and he loves music from a very young age. And eventually he's going to really study that. And that's going to propel him into this performing career and doing, kids TV and music on kids TV, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't really see it coming. He. You know, was more of a theater guy who kind of messed around on guitar. I mean, he was actually going to Juilliard at one point. And I guess John Houseman, Mr., you know, saturated fats. I believe the grandfather in Silver Spoons. Right? But great thespian told him he was never going to amount to anything. Get out of there. So, like, you know, he'd been writing these songs, comes back to Chicago, and basically starts driving a cab, you know, while working on songwriting. And then he meets this amazing character, John Hulbert, who not only did I write him up, I wrote up his old band, The Knaves. And he was this amazing guitar player who did a sort of private press record of these sort of, you know, guitar ragas that he did, very unique style for Chicago. And those two were writing, looking up Red Top Cabs together. I was like, well, I've never heard of that company. And yep, it was a thing, Red Top Cabs. And they recorded together. They were selling records out of the car. So he didn't necessarily think he was going to go into the children's show thing, but, you know, he had done one little thing early on in high school for this board of rabbis, and they were looking for someone to replace to be elfin character number 2, Tiny Tove, on the Magic Door. And he sort of upped the level and made in, you know, writing these cool songs and stuff instead of using songs that were sort of pre-prepared for the show, and brought this very, you know, he was very skilled in like classical music and folk and everything. And they're really cool songs. And the songs that ended up on this record are, you know, they just kind of stand by themselves. They're really, and this guy, Abe Stokeman, who did the arrangements, are beautiful. They're these Baroque sort of arrangements. It's a really unique sound, you know, just in its own right.
Ah, room, zim, zim, ah, room, zim, zim, gilly, 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 ah, sa, sa, come through the magic door with me, just say these words and wondrous things we'll see.
He does go on to theater. He is really going to be successful, and he's going to appear in also TV shows. He's episodes of Law and Order from 93 to 2000. Come on.
Several episodes. I mean, yeah, I was sort of like, whoa, you know, and then like toured in like the hit version of like Torch Song Trilogy and stuff, which is a really big deal at the time. And like, you know, he just did. I mean, that's finally what kind of got the fire under my tuchus, as we Jews will say, to do this. Is he just won all these crazy awards. He's in like a short film acting, and not only are these film, the film winning an award, he won back best actor a couple times already. It's called A King's Curtain. And, you know, I would love to see it here, but Austin Pendleton's in it. In some legendary films.
Yeah, he's been in everything.
Oh, everything, yeah. Everything. Total legend. I was like, whoa. So, yeah, you know, he's still doing it and living his dreams. And, you know, I think mostly in New York these days, making that kind of stuff happen. But just really cool dude. Sometimes he will call me and just leave a message of him singing a old folk song. So, you know, just like just a delightful dude and a fountain of information, and like, you know, just kind of a true Renaissance man. He should have, you know, done all these things, but he should have more appreciation. And just going into this, I had no idea, you know, this was like kind of building this one from the ground up.
Charles E. Gerber, that's who we're talking about. Born in West Rogers Park here in Chicago, and he goes on and he's just done so much. And The Magic Door for all those years, entertaining kids like Steve Krakow when he was about 4 years old, and you know, writing this music, putting out an album about the show and the music from the show, I should say. And what a cool story. So we can go on to chicagoreader.com and get the whole story of Charles E. Gerber and that movie that he's in this year called The King's Curtain, like you said, Steve, and it won a bunch of awards at some film festivals. So check that out. The trailer is out there online right now. And hey, I got to mention this because we are 1 week out, friend. 1 week out from Berwyn Fitzgerald's. Fitzgerald's is in Berwyn. I should make that clear. Berwyn is not in Fitzgerald's. That'll be a thing. But here we are at 1 week out from the Fitzgerald's event, where we will be taping the 1,000th episode of Outside the Loop. You will be there, and we will be doing this in front of an audience, and everyone else can be there too.
I am stoked.
I mean, we don't usually have an audience, man.
I know. I like Berwyn. You know, we get to actually chat in person. We get, you know, there'll be some other guests. I hear actually the guy playing guitar is a pretty killer.
Yeah, he's cool. AJ Rosales, he's been on this show before, and he sounds great. He's going to be playing live, and yeah, we want everyone to come out. It's free. You just need to RSVP through FitzgeraldsNightclub.com. It's the 1,000th episode taping of Outside the Loop. We have a full guest lineup. We've got historians. We've got mental health people. We got Steve Krakow. We've got live music. We've got the history of Fitzgerald's. So come on out. They have a full bar. I mean, come on. If that's a, you know, if that's a thing that you want to get into, sure. They've also got barbecue, great food. And Steve Krakow, again, will be there. And by the way, we've got some swag we're giving out. I mean, it's not crazy, but we got stuff to give away.
Ooh.
Yeah, I can't tell you. They're magnets, but they're very nice magnets.
Cool. I'll always take me a magnet.
Well, you know, we're just working here for the people. And I feel like in this crazy time that we're in, maybe we need a magnet or two, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, celebrate something great like you doing this show and being committed to this for 1,000 episodes, you know, and you've always covered issues that are important in our community that are more important than ever.
Well, thank you for that. And I also want to say thank you for designing the poster, the official poster for the event. If you've gone on any social media accounts of Outside the Loop or Yours Truly or Steve Krakow, you've seen this poster, but they have them up at Fitzgerald's too. So that's how you can get tickets. There's a little QR code. Scan that thing. Get some tickets. They're free.
I'll sign a couple. If somebody, you know, pulls it off the wall, I'll sign it.
Well, look at that. We're just making dreams come true and memories and all that stuff, right?
That's right. 3 o'clock, at Fitzgerald's next Saturday.
That is true. November 22nd. Steve Krakow will be there. I will be there. And hopefully you, the listener, are there as well. Steve, I say thank you, sir. And, the magic door, your way out of here. Here we go.
Off into the acorn.
1, 2, you're almost through. 3, 4, you take 2 more. 1, 2, 3, 4, magic steps through the magic door. When I came here from far away, I had a funny inkling that you could use a tiny touch of Tiny's clever thinkling. 1, 2, you're almost through. 3, 4, you take 2 more. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And that just about does it. Outside the Loop show number 996 is done. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. Thanks to Bob Ferguson for all of his engineering skills in the WGN radio studio. And be sure to get your tickets for free to Fitzgerald's this coming Saturday, November 22nd, 3 o'clock p.m. I'd love to see you out there, the Outside the Loop 1000th episode taping event. Sweet. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next time, and I'll see you next week here on Outside the Loop.